This episode of WDW Today is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers once again. If you're planning your next vacation, you don't want to lug that thing through the airport. I'm not talking about your kid, Will.
I'm talking about your stroller.
That's right. And they have been a good friend, a good partner of ours, and we are excited to have them on board. Once again, their website, kingdomstrollers.com. They don't just do strollers, by the way. They do cribs. They do other options that are like that. If you have a baby and you're going to Walt Disney World or a kid that needs a stroller, and Riker still even uses a stroller, don't you, buddy, when you're at there? Because there's nice to have a big stroller. I use that big Mini. That City Mini GT, which is the big boy version. So we use that at from Kingdom Strollers. And plus, we got a double stroller. I had three strollers going this last trip. Two double strollers because it was my twins. Niece and her brother, my niece and nephew, and Riker had that City Mini GT. It's pretty awesome. They also have other products. Again, they have cribs and beddings, doubles. They also have some special needs strollers if you need that. Go to kingdomstrollers.com, and now on with the show.
Give me a little intro there, Gomer.
Bringing the world to your world. This is WDW Today, coming to you from somewhere off property at the Laugh-O-Gram Studios, featuring Len Testa and the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. Now here they are, Terry Weaver, the nature boy Will Haynes, and your host, Logan Seculo.
It's Wednesday, April 12th, 2017. This is episode 1559 of WDW Today. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
And I'm Terry Weaver.
We just got done with our live show, and we're going to be taking this. Is from a our topic today is from the Producers Club, as all topics will be pretty much from now on, at least help decide on. But I did get back from a trip from Walt Disney World since we last spoke. I didn't do a whole lot of new stuff, but we're going to talk about that, the stuff I did do, and how that plays into the new topic. And the topic this week, I forget who submitted it.
This is from James. One of our Producers Club members.
Yes, and Producers Club, again, it's $10 a month, and you get to have this special. You not only get an extra show every week, but you get to meet with us once a month and decide what the next four shows are. But his topic was about kind of the pros and cons, what we would prefer of frequent short trips or one long trip in a year. And I think that was the discussion, right?
Yes.
So where I just got out of a long trip, which is rare for me. I'm usually a 3-4 nighter. I just did a 7 nights. I know Terry typically is a longer trip guy. But I have kind of varying opinions on this. I just got 7 nights. Now, I have to say 3 nights of those were WrestleMania. So really I did 4 nights, and I only ended up going. And I think because you're like, I have a week, I end up just not doing very much.
So you almost get a little complacent.
Right.
Because
you have so much time.
Right. Yeah. I can understand that.
I did the Magic Kingdom for a day, but that was it. I planned on going to Hollywood Studios, planned to go to Animal Kingdom, and my plans just fell apart. One of the reasons was because, if you don't know, fun fact, Tep, Rivers of Light not running every night right now, and I was not prepared for that. When I went to go check it on Wednesday, day before I left, it wasn't playing, so we decided not to go to the Animal Kingdom. So I'm going to do all my new Animal Kingdom stuff in one trip once Avatar opens in a couple weeks. But, yeah, again, I did some new restaurants and things like that, but I only went into the parks once. My wife only did the Magic Kingdom. She did it 2 or 3 times, but didn't do any of the other parks. But they did do some new stuff, but...
Tell us a little bit about the things that you did, because before we get into, I guess, the topic, I want to know, because you did some new things you hadn't done before, so I kind of want to hear about those first.
So let's take away WrestleMania, because you're never going to be able to do that again unless you go to another WrestleMania city, but which was a blast. But new things I did, I spent a lot, two full trips to Disney Springs, but I had not been there since it was fully finished, and I really enjoyed Disney Springs, and we went through some of the shopping districts, and we went through a couple different restaurants. So we went first to Homecoming, because I wanted to try that out. They told me they could seat us if we could sit in a booth. We couldn't because they needed high chairs. So they told me it'd be a 90-minute wait for a table. Then we moved on to Boathouse. They had no availability. So we did this without an ADR. We just went on a whim. And then we went over to Paddlefish, which was Fulton's Crab House, and they could seat us immediately. So within 5 minutes, we were at our table. And a great, excellent experience.
Do you think that's just because their space is bigger or because it's
a little bit of
not
both?
A lot of people going there?
A little bit of both. I think their space is significantly bigger than a lot of these restaurants. I do think the price point is a little high. And
so it's keeping the demand low.
Much like Fulton's. And it's, I don't know, it's not that specifically inviting when you first just see it. Because now it is this big gray ship. It's not this like white, beautiful, like old
riverboat.
Now it's this kind of gray paddle boat, which is cool. But it doesn't really lend itself to maybe walk in. And I would assume that before I walked in that I was not going to be able to get in. Not because there was a line, just because it just doesn't seem like a restaurant you could just walk in.
Right.
But it was fairly expensive. I mean, not too bad. For 6 of us, 3 of which were kids, we had no salads, we had appetizers, no desserts. and I had a pretty expensive entree, and I think there's one cocktail ordered. It ended up being about $200.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, maybe a little bit more. Maybe $220. Maybe $250 with a tip, if I'm thinking extra back now. So, I mean, it's not an inexpensive. And we didn't have the most expensive things on that. There were some $75.
That's not super accessible, then.
There were some $75 items on the menu. And, like, my... well, I mean, some things are worth the money.
Well, sure, but just I don't think of paddle fishing.
I had a low country boil, which ran me about $35. Plus, I had lobster. What do we have? Lobster guacamole, table side, which was amazing. Tasted amazing and was a fun experience. But that was pretty expensive. Had crab fries, which is French fries with crab and sort of a ketchup mayonnaise mix.
Yeah.
So nothing that you know. Everyone had a fairly expensive seafood option. Except for the kids. And it still ended up being pretty high. I mean, it was a higher bill than I was expecting when I got it. But I have to say, I have no complaints on the food quality. I thought everything was excellent.
Hmm. Anything else that you've been to that were new? New things?
I did Geyser Point. Okay. Stopped by there. I just had a drink and watched people. It was okay. I was kind of expecting a little bit more, but it was very busy.
That's the one that's on the lake?
Yeah,
right?
There's a lot of construction going on around. There. So right now it's a lot of... noise from construction. They're sitting out there.
And such.
Yeah, once it's done, I think it'll be okay. But right
now, I think the weather very much will affect your Geyser Point experience. The day you went, you guys just came from the airport. It was like 95 degrees.
It was really hot, and it still was nice. I mean, look, I have to say, of those kind of things, it was really nice, and the food seemed good. I just didn't have one. I just had a drink and sat there on the water. You can't hog tables a little too much. There's like a lot of they have these big, giant, cushy couches and lounge furniture, and really patio furniture that are set up as table service. And like three or four of them was one person. And it wasn't like that was then you could go sit at them. It was that person was occupying that table.
Huh.
So they didn't
Well, that's odd that they would even seat someone.
Well, you don't seat. You just walk up and sit down.
Yeah.
But then you would think that it would be communal that if there's extra seating that other people could just join in.
And it maybe was, but it didn't feel that way. Because they were like, hey, we'll clean this off and you guys come over. So we didn't have a seat for a while. Again, I had a problem with it. I think it'll be nicer as time goes on.
Yeah, those are more like logistical kinks, I feel like, that you have to work out rather than maybe
I could see it being negative. A cool place, though, for breakfast.
But you only had a drink there and no food?
No, we just ate at Whispering Canyon, which is all around the same as it's been since 1996, but nothing wrong with that. My wife and niece and, I guess, sister-in-law, they did the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique for the first time ever, and I was not there, but I got to see the results, and I paid for it, so I got to see what... what you got to pay for. And the experience they had was unbelievable. They
really?
Just loved it. Now, they've built, if you haven't been to Disney Springs recently, they've built a Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique freestanding store. So it used to be inside with the World of Disney store. Now it is kind of near where the Christmas store is or Once Upon a Toy. It's right next to there. I'm not sure what was in there beforehand or if it was a brand new construction. I can't remember exactly. But from as soon as she walked in, I guess, until she left, like it was... it was a luxurious experience, which is maybe not, it wasn't just throw some glitter on and this, it was, you know, wait right
actual
here.
Spa, while, right. I mean, spa, not, but like for, salon spa treatment kind of
right,
thing.
Right. She was a princess and they walked into the dressing room and there was a talking magic mirror. And it was from what I gathered, she loved it. And they did that in Disney Springs instead of doing a park one day.
And probably liked it as much.
Right.
For that specific demographic.
Right, and what I think they also said was she did Elena of Avalor, which I guess is a little bit harder to find because they can't guarantee what characters you can pick. But I think maybe because it was Disney Springs, maybe it has a little bit less. And we got that appointment also the same day. I called in the morning. Okay. They had one at 2 o'clock, one at 5 o'clock. So don't be afraid to call and see if it's available. I did wait on hold for 35 minutes,
though. This may be a little bit of a silly question, but do they offer like adult pairings with that as well? I mean, not like the full costume princess, but can like a mom that takes her daughter get her nails done or something like that?
No, okay. I don't think so. And you're only allowed to have one person with you. So like my wife didn't get to watch my sister-in-law did.
Gotcha.
I'm not sure of the total price, but it wasn't cheap. I'll tell you that. And I have to look. They do photo pass during it as well. So you get professional photos.
You got a ton of pictures on your photo pass from it.
I did. And I need to get those to her. And it was a really good experience. They were raving about it and seemed well worth the price. I'm trying to find out what the price point is at this point. So it starts at the Crown package is I paid for the top notch package and it looks like it topped out about $190. So it's not cheap. But you can get in there for it looks like $100. But it is a multi-hour, event, and your kid gets done up and you get the dress. So you're keeping a lot of accessories.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Right. So like you're buying something as well. Right. If you're buying a product and there's ancillary product or ancillary
experience
to it.
Around right. with it.
Yeah. There's also a guy's version that you can get like pirated up.
Yeah.
Especially on the cruise ship, very popular of the Pirates League.
Yeah, they have that as well. And they did say there were some older kids in there. So, you know, if you're 13 and still want to do it, no one's going to stop you. I don't know if adults can do it. They were very clear that it was very interesting in this day and age. Cause we got some decent comments when we did the Teenage Boy Show that they're very specific. This is for girls. Hmm. They're very specific. This is for girls of a certain age. And
interesting.
I kind of like the experience we had with Anna and Elsa, where they're like, we're going to take your son up here. You guys stay back here. Which I didn't mind. In some ways, I feel like
it more, I guess, to me is
keeps it a kid thing.
It's refreshing to some extent that they did that, but also at the same time, a little surprising maybe that they did that. So,
right.
And they particularly specifically say on the website that guests must be between the ages of 3 and 12 years old and be accompanied by an adult 18 years or older.
So there you go. But yeah, and that was kind of it for my new Disney experiences that I did. I didn't do a whole lot more. I did do Legoland. I did Holy Land and a few other things. But let's get to the topic at hand, which is the long stay versus the short stay. And honestly, here's how I feel. If you're going to a Walt Disney World vacation and you want to experience what Walt Disney World has to offer and you're staying off property, I would say that as well. Go for a short trip. Because if I was there for 3 or 4 nights, I probably would have hit all 4 parks.
Yeah.
At least 3. Animal Kingdom, I still maybe have waited till Avatar's open. But I would have hit probably all 3 parks, probably had all my dining in the parks. Because I was staying at a vacation home, a rental home, and was able to just chill for a lot of it. I mean, we spent a day at the pool and just hung out at the house and watched movies and played video games. That was a detractor from us going out, which my wife kind of wasted in some ways a 3-day park hopper ticket that she bought for her family ahead of time because they end up only going to Magic Kingdom and only doing it for 2 of the 3 days. Mm. So interesting kind of facts there.
Yeah. For me, I found out that I think it's like I feel like a 5 days seems to be like a good length, 5 nights that lets you do a day per park and then have a day off. I found that on the longer trips, the times we've gone on longer trips, it's like, so how many rides is there? What did you do? It's like, well, we did 2 rides and you know, like you end up kind of,
it's much more relaxing. Yeah. Like I'd say it was probably my favorite Orlando vacation I've had in a long time. Cause I've been no person to say like this 2 trips ago, I was kind of like, all right, I need a break. Like, I feel like we're there so much for work. Sometimes it becomes very tough, especially with the crowds. But this trip, taking it easy, kind of refreshed my love for it and said, okay, you don't have to go and kill it every day and enjoy it. So I have 2 kind of points of view on it.
And if I'm going to do a longer trip, my preference is to do a land and sea combo and do like maybe 4 days and then do a shorter cruise. If I'm going to do a shorter cruise, we typically always combine.
Yeah.
Any cruise that we do in Orlando, we're going to go at least for a day or 2 because we're already there.
Yeah.
And we normally, you know, at least go get a couple of the restaurants, and it's normally our chance to go and experience a new ride or something new.
Yeah.
You know, I am a fan of the longer trip, and I think now this maybe gives me a little bit of flack from some folks, but I think there's a lot of really cool attractions that, and not even other theme parks, but in the Orlando area that it's cool to do if you're a family. Gatorland, you know, things like that that are kind of old school Florida, and they're things I grew up on. So I think I prefer the longer trip, not because you can cram in more days necessarily at Disney, but because you can make it more of a vacation and be a little bit more leisurely about it. But you can also go to other things like Gatorland. You can drive out to Wickiwatchee Springs. You can go to a day at the beach. You're not but an hour from the coast.
Okay, I got to stop you. What is Wickiwatchee Springs?
Wickiwatchee Springs, one of the oldest roadside attractions in Florida. It's a spring, a natural springs that they do mermaid shows in.
Live
where
mermaids.
Where the mermaids, they'll be
Will
under.
And I have done it.
Yeah, they're people in costume that are under. You go in a submerged theater.
Like you would at SeaWorld.
And you're looking under the water and these ladies that are performers in mermaid costume
are under the sea.
They'll stay underwater for over an hour, and they have these tubes that they will swim to and get oxygen from.
All right.
Will and I have done it.
Never heard it.
It's unbelievably cool.
It is. Those girls are.
It's something that if you're just going down for 3 days, you're never going
to
get there.
We talked about going there this trip. We just ran out of time to do that and the beach. But I will preface that said that, yes, I only did one theme park at Magic Kingdom, but I did do Legoland.
Yeah.
And I did do Holy Land.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, shout out love to everyone at Holy Land who hooked us up. Honestly, if it interests you at all, it's worth they're putting some money into Holy Land, and it's really a fun experience for probably half day.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to go the whole day, they have shows, different shows that start in the morning and nights. You can go from probably 10 to 6 and do new things if it interests you. And even if it doesn't, it's a cool half day experience that I think in the next year or two will have it's kind of going to go one of the other ways. I think it's either going to completely change or it may be gone. But I think when I was talking to them, I think it's going to be around for a while. I think they're going to put some really good stuff in it. No rides.
Yeah.
Which is one thing I talked to them about. And they're like, well, the footprint for the rides. But I think that they you know, maybe with VR.
But then you can take that and do like a half day there. And then also the outlets are right around there.
The Mall Millennia's
same exit, I think. Is that Conroy? Is it on Conroy?
It's on Conroy. So you're right there
to do those things. That's why I prefer the longer vacation. It becomes a vacation. It becomes you having leisure and not just go, go, go in the parks. And also, I know that our friend Matt, who helps produce this show, he likes the fact that you can do things like a day at the resort and really utilize those amenities that are there that you may not if you're just staying on property and trying to get to the parks quickly. So,
and I think we forget of all the things that when you do a longer trip, you remember there's putt-putt and you do those extra things. And I think the putt-putt courses, particularly Winter Slumberland, are some, you know, it's one of my favorite places to play putt-putt. It feels a lot classier than a lot of times you go to play cut-cut. You know, you play putt-putt and you feel like you're going to like step on something that's broken or on the roadside attraction.
Well, I felt in a little bit on the Wiki Watchy side, the reason that we went to Legoland is number one, Riker really wanted to go because they've been advertising Ninjago, the experience, and the whole Ninjago ride, and which was actually a really fun ride. Most of the rides there are very carnival-y.
Mm.
They've been Lego themed. They are, but they're cute and they're very low capacity. So if you go during a very heavy day, watch out. But if you go when we did, there was nobody there. I mean, we walked onto everything. He did multiple rides, we did some rides multiple times without waiting.
What theme park was it before? It was Legoland?
As I say, it was Cypress Gardens.
Okay.
And there still is a Cypress Gardens branded section with the gardens you can walk through. And then also they've converted something. So one of the things Cypress Gardens was known for was the water skiers.
Mm-hmm.
So now they do a Lego pirate show that incorporates those water skiers. And it seems to be like maybe the family members or someone related to those still do. They do a pre-show that is just the water skiers. And then they kind of do the post-show with it. It feels very old Florida. There's just a few. I mean, one guy does the water skiing with no skis, doing crazy tricks.
Mm-hmm.
Super impressive stuff. It just feels like Florida. It has a little bit of that hometown theme park to it, which is why it doesn't feel like Disney World. You know, you park for $2 more, you get preferred parking, which is right up front. And one cool thing they did that I have to say they didn't have a few years ago when to Legoland was they built solar panels to power something. I don't know what exactly. But they create shade for everyone in the preferred parking section. So your cars are covered.
Huh.
And that, obviously, during a hot day, be hugely beneficial. And they also opened their new beach resort, which we got to drive through and see, which are little vacation homes you can rent. If you're not hardcore Lego, I wouldn't be out there because it is a haul. Like, it took from Reunion a good 45 minutes to get to Legoland, about 35 miles. So
if you're talking Central Florida, do you guys have, on the longer trip, is there a preferred beach that you guys would recommend for?
You know, if you're staying.
If you're a Rice fan? No.
No. If you're staying at Disney, the closest beach is probably Cocoa. That's not my preferred beach at all. I would actually not.
It's probably about
go
an hour
Cocoa.
20, hour 30.
Yeah. I would always prefer New Smyrna Beach or Ponce Inlet. They're two really good beaches near in the Daytona area, but a little bit less Daytona-ish, you know, then you're not very far from the west coast of Florida, which are the prettiest beaches in the world. So going over to, you know, Clearwater,
Yeah, I mean, Tampa, Clearwater, Tampa's is all there. Hour. It's honestly very, there. Very similar. They're just not necessarily the most traditional beach towns you think of.
Right.
But Clearwater, though, for sure.
Clearwater and St. Pete are right there, and they're
maybe an extra 15 minutes.
And so I would almost suggest go to the Gulf. It's a little bit more relaxed than...
Especially if you're going to, like, change hotels and go stay there.
Right.
I do like...
You can make it a day, though. You can get up in the morning. It's only a little over an hour.
We used to
drive to the beach and then spend the day there and come back. The thing is, you have to have a rental car, clearly. And if you're there for a long trip, you have to have a rental car.
If you're going
there
for a week, rent a car. I mean, it's going to cost you, but rent a car.
But Orlando, the rental car rates...
If you know what you're doing. I saw my sister's after 4 days. I don't know what she picked, but she sent me a receipt. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like $1,000.
Oh, wow. Did you get a Maserati?
No. The thing is, like, I just think she picked because it wasn't aware what she did, what like, she was yeah. doing.
I will give you some tips if you go to Cocoa Beach. If you go to the Cocoa Beach area, I think the beach is probably it's cool to go and say, "Hey, the ocean's there." Check. You know, there's the Space Center there, which is a great
Cape Canaveral,
the great attraction. And if you go, if you are a Disney fan, you can go there and be one of the people that waves off the cruise ship because there's about 3 or 4 days a week, especially during the non-summer months, there's a cruise coming every day.
Well, that sounds like misery to me.
Well, no, but it's cool to
go
like,
stand over here and say goodbye to a ship you would like to be on.
Well, you know, it's a good place to maybe talk about what you'll do on your next Disney trip, and there's just things to do.
That just sounds horrible.
Yeah, to go and go to the beach and think about what you may do in the future.
Tarpon Springs,
live in the
also,
now, man. Tarpon Springs is one of the coolest places on Earth.
About 2 hours, 2 hours, 15 minutes, something like that. And it is a Greek village that feels like you are in Greece. I mean, it is amazing. And
it's like a colony almost. Yeah. Like
I think it was settled as a colony. The food there is amazing. The people are awesome. They do a lot of sponge diving there. So sponges is really what's known for there. And that's in Tarpon Springs. That's about 2 hours away. It's a great little drive. And St. Augustine ain't that far away, is it? How long is that? 3 or 4 hours?
St. Augustine is going to be further because it's from Disney. It's probably over three.
We did the drive.
224 from Kissimmee, Florida. So not too bad.
It wasn't that bad of a drive. And
that's probably without traffic.
That's right at three hours.
Right, it's a good half day to whether you want to do it or not. But I like the Tarpon Springs
and
option.
I guess that's kind of what my my whole thing with it is, do the longer trip, but don't just stay at Disney.
Yeah, but I know some of you Disneyites never leave, and there's plenty of stuff to do while you're there. And look, like I said, I experienced very little, but we were on property a good bit with the Springs and with Magic Kingdom. And we ate at Wilderness Lodge, and I tried to eat at Sanaa, couldn't get in. Again, the last-minute trip travel thing, I mean, I got into... Oh, I did California Grill for the first time in many years, since the alleged monkey incident.
Alleged? That thing was real.
Yes, that happened.
We were there.
It's real to me, man.
Did we talk about this already? I feel like maybe we talked about it in a list of questions, but I enjoyed it. Our food was phenomenal. We got there at our reservation was at 9:30, so it was after the kids went to bed. And we didn't get seated, though, until about 10, because it was right after fireworks, and people just were loitering, and they took forever to seat us. It was okay. I mean, that was kind of the negative. I think the furniture needs an upgrade. It's starting to look a little hotel lobby-ish, looking a little washed out.
I think it's just because the nonstop sun up there.
Whatever it is, I feel like if I'm going to pay what I pay.
Oh, for sure.
Like,
keep it updated.
Keep it up. Make it like look nice. I didn't feel like I got the food value, for sure. I just don't know if I got the experience value.
It's been 2 or 3 years since the...
Four.
Four, yeah.
Four or five. I think four. 4 years. Four and a half.
It's time.
Like it's time to
it's
get...
It's time for a month off to put some new carpet in and
right.
some new chairs. That would fix it.
Absolutely, because the food and service was phenomenal, but it just looked a little odd. And I had the bone marrow. It was back on the menu, so I had that. I can't remember what I had for my main meal, but it was great. We had some sushi. You know, we did. My wife and I split like a seafood thing, and I think we had a seafood thing. We each had dessert. I had a blueberry cheesecake because I thought maybe it was going to be similar to the Avatar blueberry cheesecake, which if it is, it's different than I was expecting, but it was very good. Very blueberry, though. Like, oh, over the top. But I mean, that was my trip and I had a good time. And I will be back probably in mid to late May for Avatar. Try it out. So what if we're going to vote on it? Longer stay, less frequent, or more frequent short stays?
I'm a more frequent short stay just because that's, for Disney World, that's how we like to vacation. I like the ability to go more often. 5 days. 4 or 5 days.
Longer stay, less frequent, but do a lot more Florida stuff as well.
I go with the shorter stay, more frequent, but I really enjoyed this trip. This was the most relaxing trip I'd been on. So there's, you know, give and take. Here's what I prefer. WrestleMania every year to be in Orlando because that city handled it so well. And I want to just give some love to everyone who works for the WWE, who just made, and everyone in the Central Florida area that made WrestleMania pretty much seamless, which we've done it multiple times and it usually is not. It usually takes over a city. So good for those people in Orlando. All right. Coming up next, we got our friends. He's back. Our buddy, Lynn Testa, with listener questions right after a word from our new friends at Terry, who is it?
The DVC resale market.
Ooh. Now, you're, because Will and I are not the DVC people, but you have a DVC show. You know about the resale market. This is something I have not done. So why don't you explain why people should do this and what it is?
So the DVC resale market is one of our new magical providers that we've kind of added a new exciting opportunity for people to be a part of the WDW Today family. And we've had them sponsoring Top of the World, and they are a fantastic group that helps you become a DVC member without necessarily having to buy directly from Disney and getting sometimes a 30, 40, or even a 50% savings of what it would cost you to buy direct.
Gotcha.
With Disney.
So you're buying points or are you buying contracts?
You're buying contracts.
You're buying in.
You're buying in. Someone else has bought their contract. They've had a life change.
Yeah. People sell. Which one of the benefits of DVC is you can sell it.
Right, you can sell it.
So people sell it, and they put it up on the DVC resale marketplace, and you go to this website.
Yep, DVCresalemarket.com. And Nick Cotton and his team, they are fantastic. Every one of their sales team used to work for DVC directly. So they're all...
They know the ins and outs.
They know the ins and outs. They're there to help you, guide you through the process. They have a lot of great stuff. You can go to the website and find out what it takes to be a member. You can kind of put in where you want to buy, what your budget is, and they tell you how to do it at dvcresellmarket.com.
Awesome. Check them out, and we'll talk about it here at the end of the show. But before we get to the end of the show, there's one more thing left, and that is listener questions with the good doctor, Lynn Testa.
It's time for listener questions with Lynn.
All right. Once again, it's time to be joined by our good friend and yours, who we've never met in person, but it's okay. It's no hard feelings. Mr. Lynn Testa. Lynn, welcome back.
How's it going?
It's going well. I just got back from Orlando. I think you did. Are you there now?
Yeah, I mean, for at least through the opening of Pandora, whenever that is.
Okay.
God, we should live so long.
Exactly. I'm going to try to come down on the 19th, I think, maybe, in Code of Pandora. So we'll see.
I'll be here.
If you're there, hopefully we'll run into you. I know that there's like, some press stuff going on, but we also got the AP... days, whatever, on that, the 2 hours. What do you think about that 2 hour preview? Are you going to be able to do anything?
Yeah, I mean, 2 hours is basically it's the nickel tour of Pandora, right?
Right.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned by that. The time window, it's going to be essentially a blue blur of people, a blur of blue people. How do we want to say that? Yeah. But it's going to be. I think the background music is actually the Benny Hill theme for Pandora.
Exactly. I mean, I don't even know. We're talking about this. Are you going to be able to hit both attractions? I don't even know. Probably not.
They must be constricting the number of people in so much that you're guaranteed to do both. It's probably going to be an hour wait.
Right.
So long. Don't let the door hit you on the blue butt on the way out.
Yeah. Well, I was still looking forward to it, but it was when I saw that was a 2 hour window, I'm like, well, I'm not going to fly down for just that. I'll wait a week and actually go experience it. But we picked a nighttime one because I wanted to the latest one we could get because I wanted to see it at night. So we'll see.
So interestingly enough, on Pandora, yesterday was my window to book actual fast passes.
This is interesting.
And I reached out to Lynn because, you know, I was kind of expecting the same thing as Frozen, which is those puppies are gone
59 days in advance. Yeah.
You know, before you have to book at the end of your trip if you're there long. So this, you know, I'm in town for another event and, you know, doing just 3 days afterwards. And so that meant I needed to do fast passes 2 days. And I had no issues getting any time of day, all 3 days, both attractions wide open.
And here's what I've heard about this. So I didn't text you this yesterday because I want to save it for the show. But I'm hearing that bookings are soft for the summer and that Pandora's not doing anything for Disney. And I've heard that from a Disney rep through someone else. And here's the interesting thing: if you're in the Northeast, but you're not in New York City. Let's say you're in a smaller market, yeah. Philadelphia, DC, Baltimore, whatever. You're just now starting to see Disney do ad buys for Pandora.
Interesting. Yeah, because I feel like I've seen them a ton. But yeah. I'm in the South and it's just, yeah you're getting hit.
But in the Northeast.
This is Pandora land down here.
Yeah. But even in Orlando, there was more Jimmy Fallon advertisement going on there. I saw very little Pandora. I saw more billboards and things for the End of Wishes than I did for Pandora.
Right? I've seen just as many for the End of Wishes as I have for Pandora. And the thing I can't figure out is, did Disney think that it was just going to sell itself? Because remember, this is a movie that's, 10 years old now?
Yeah, almost, 8 or 9 years old. That most people don't really fully remember.
It doesn't really, it was a pleasant enough experience. It's like, it's like the Canadian kid you dated in summer camp. It was a pleasant enough experience, back when we were young, and we've got fond memories of it, but it's not like I want to read about it every day.
Really, I want to know more about that Canadian
but
kid.
But you can't really remember that Canadian's name. It's
it's like the blue Canadian kid you dated in summer camp. The blue
Canadian. Well,
I think that was Kentucky, not Canada.
I don't know.
There are blue people, right, in Kentucky?
Yeah.
I'm not good with accents.
I don't know. I'm going to try to go. My plan is to be there because I haven't done any. Even I was there for this last week, and I didn't really get a lot of Disney time in. And I wanted to save Animal Kingdom, I tried to do Rivers of Light, and I didn't.
Disney really wants to save Animal Kingdom, too. That's why they're opening Pandora.
Well, I didn't realize that, Rivers of Light's not running every night. And
no, it's only a few nights a week. Yeah.
So, I went, we're like, all right, let's go to Animal Kingdom tonight. Oh, I wanted to see Rivers of Light.
A Tuesday or something?
Yeah, it was going to be Wednesday. And it was maybe it was Tuesday. What day did we leave? It was the day before we left, so I guess it would have been a Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't playing, and I was like, oh, well.
Awkward.
Okay. Well, and they still had nighttime stuff. You could watch the Tree of Light light up. It was still open, but no Rivers of Light. We're going to do the Galactic Spectacular, and we ended up not doing anything because we were exhausted. But I wanted to save and kind of do an Animal Kingdom trip where I'd take in all the new stuff, Pandora, Rivers of Light, everything, and try to do that in one kind of swoop. And honestly, it was just crazy when we were down there this week. But
so I will say the one night that we were there recently, they were doing background music testing.
Cool.
You could hear it.
How's it sound?
Do the words banshee whale mean anything to you?
I could see that.
You're saying whale like jump jiving whale or whale like orca?
Like jump jiving whale. It sounds like somebody torturing gypsies. That's what it sounded like. It did not sound good.
Oh no.
Maybe they're testing sound levels. Wait, is gypsies a bad word now?
Is that
no offense?
Frowned upon.
Right? I mean,
we're not talking about real gypsies.
No. If I've offended any gypsies on Pandora, please let me.
It's interesting time, Pandora. I don't know. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna experience it. I hope to enjoy it. But we do have some questions, right, Terry?
We do have questions.
Terry curated these, so blame him. So
no, Terry copied these.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
There were so many that there wasn't even in time for curating.
Thank you, Terry. So these are back in June.
No, they were all. We got them all literally today.
So okay, go ahead. Let's take some.
Beth Evanano wants that I'm going to Disneyland for the first time, April 22nd. I've been to Disney World a few times, and I've read the entire unofficial guide. Well, there you go. So my question is, what specifically at this time should I make sure I hit or skip as many things are being refurbished? Any last-minute tips or things that have changed since the last guide came out?
A lot of stuff is closed in Frontierland. Yeah. What's new? There's some interesting new food things. I can't recall what they are, but Disneyland is doing some interesting new food things. When is Splitsville supposed to open in Downtown Disney in California?
I do not know.
I don't know.
But yeah, that's a fun option.
Yeah,
surprisingly good food.
Yeah, for a bowling alley. In fact, I was there Saturday night, just sort of walking around Disney Springs, and it was packed. In fact, somebody had rented the entire top. Part of it is for some sort of corporate event. It was
nice.
It's completely full. Yeah, and it gets really good ratings.
I've never eaten there. I've been in it, but I've never other than
I've never bowled. I've only eaten there. That's interesting.
I've never bowled. I've just kind of walked around and be like, okay, that's cool. All right, because that's I went through the Springs this past week, first time in a long time. Since they really had opened up the old shopping district, and it's awesome. I loved it. All right, Tim says, what's Lynn's over under on when Toy Story Land may open?
Oh, 2018, no doubt.
So next year.
In fact, definitely 2018. Parts of the coaster have already made it to the United States. I think the launch mechanism is in. So there are some
cool.
There's people on certain message boards that track things related to Disney that come in via ports in the United States.
Import export
port tracker.
There's some dedicated people. It looks like the launch mechanism has arrived. Oh. So the thing that I was kind of curious about was the fact that Disney hasn't mentioned it's actually opening.
Right.
And I think they're holding back on it just so they have something to advertise for 2018. They'll say, you know, obviously this year's Pandora, next year will be Toy Story Land, then it'll be Star Wars Land, then Bob Iger's leaving and nobody really cares.
Right.
But the advertising beyond that, then it's 2021 is the
Iger 2020 is the presidential election.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, Iger 2020, and then Disney World's 50th anniversary in 2021.
Yeah, is when you're pulling, and I've just noticed this, when you're pulling towards Hollywood Studios, on the right you can see a lot of construction. Is that Star Wars Land, or is that, I guess, depending on where you're coming from? But
they're doing a couple of things there. They're completely redoing the interchange.
Okay.
On there. And then there is Star Wars Land. My sense is, nobody said this
yet.
You
can see it oddly clearly. Like the bushes are gone.
Well, that's it. And I think they're going to use it like they use Spaceship Earth as a draw for people who may be going somewhere else on property just to remind them, oh, by the way, this is here. Because we all know the Magic Kingdom is the most popular park. But
right.
You're driving to the Magic Kingdom and your kids see, you know, Coruscant or whatever, they're going to want to go there.
Yeah, because I was wondering that driving through. God, there's so much construction going on right there. It is just.
Did you see the big pile of dirt on the left side of the road that they're using for Liam? This is going to be the greatest ride ever. No, it's landfill. Never mind.
There's so much of that. I mean, like, it was one of those, like, welcome to Disney. You're being detoured around the gate. Like, it is odd right now when you drive in. It doesn't feel.
It's going to be landfill spring.
Yeah, it feels very. It feels very odd.
The funny thing about all of the road construction going on, because it's all around Disney Springs, I asked the Reedy Creek Improvement District for some sort of map or document that says, here are the things that we're changing over the next 5 years. No one wants to give it to me.
Interesting.
Where it's like, we're going to Freedom of Information Act it.
Right. We got people. Yeah. We can do that.
Yeah.
We got a
whole FOIA team, man.
Right. It's fine. We're good to go. All right. Will, you want to take
this? Yeah. This actually kind of relates to a little bit of that discussion. So Katie wants to know, which restaurants may require you to share a table with strangers? My husband has Asperger's syndrome, and I don't want to put him in situations that make him uncomfortable.
That's a real question. Yeah. What are those tables? Because there are some that are like the long tables that you
– Beer Garden?
Yeah, but I say
– Beer Garden. Blaze Pizza. Yeah. Beer Garden, Blaze Pizza.
Beer Garden is the first one popped in my head. I don't really know where else.
If the hoop-de-doo, if you
that's true.
Are a really small party,
yeah.
If it's just the two of you, you could get. Now, that's quickly solved by a conversation with guest services when you're around. They'll accommodate you.
And I would also say, just in terms of being very crowded, Pecos Bills is probably not for you.
I don't like going in there myself when it's very crowded. So
yeah,
it gets hot and hectic. And
the hallways, where you have to walk, are the thing that I'm concerned about. Not so much, but I think those are the three. I definitely know Blaze Pizza because I was there on Saturday. Definitely know that there's other seating there. I'm trying to think if there's anywhere else in Disney Springs where you've got bench seating.
I would say just the line for Blaze Pizza would be something that you wouldn't want to have to tolerate. That,
dude, it was out the door. But actually, it moved pretty fast.
I was there one night at like 11:30, and I walked up thinking, oh, it's not that bad. And then you walk around the corner, and there's another 100 people waiting.
We have one right around the corner from the house here, so I don't go
there.
And
never
often.
A line there.
I mean, there's a line.
Not like Disney
Springs.
Not
like that, no. Yeah. And the pizza's fine.
I like this pizza a lot, actually. Yeah. I've been to a few Blazes around the country now just to test them out. And
yeah.
I think this one is actually the best of the chain. It's like saying there's a best McDonald's.
Yeah, but I can see that. I mean,
so is there an ultimate little guide to Blaze Pizza coming out?
Right, it's after the Chili's edition comes out.
Yeah, Applebee's, yeah.
Ooh, that's a rough book to write.
Hey, I got Applebee's right by my house, and I'm not going to lie. There's a couple 11 o'clocks rolling around. My wife and I are like, yeah, I want some chimichurri ice cream.
Was it the onion that did the
the funny like ad for Applebee's that was like hipsters. Uh-huh. And it's like they're eye rolling like the entire thing, but they still go. Like, I hate this place so much.
I occasionally will find myself there, sadly. But it is like my house is almost adjacent to the Applebee's, which doesn't help my property value.
But if Applebee's wants to send some gift cards over,
I'll use them.
Yeah.
I mean,
when it's over, Applebee's.
I mean, some of those burgers, they at least are edible. All right, let's move on. What else did we – it's Vicky.
Yeah.
Terry, you want to take that?
Sure. Vicky Murray wants to know, do any of you know anything about the Caring for Giants elephant tour at the Animal Kingdom? $30 seems very cheap for a tour. Just wondering if it's any good. I've just booked that tour, so I haven't.
I've
heard fantastic things about it.
Like what – Lane, any insights before we talk about it?
I haven't seen it yet. I will check it out. We're going to the Animal Kingdom this week. I'll check it out.
So I was there when they were testing it. I asked the cast members that were setting it up. It's about an hour-long tour. You get in a – it's at the same location where you would get on the express buses.
Okay.
They take you to a special viewing area. If you've been on a safari lately and seen people behind the elephants, there's a special viewing area. And you meet some animal ambassadors. To tell you some elephant stories, and then you get kind of exclusive viewing of the elephants there for you to take pictures. And it's especially great with baby Stella that you can see the newest offspring. It's $30. So if you're a AAA member, DVC member, annual pass, you know, what is it, $25 for a VIP kind of experience.
See, that $25 seems better spent than that Halloween thing, that random event that's happening. But that sounds cool.
That abomination.
I'll probably end up doing it. But yeah, it doesn't feel right about it.
$22 for a short film and a character.
It's okay. Calm down.
No. Got nothing else to be passionate about.
Yeah, all right.
I'm paying attention and engaging.
Actually, I want to skip Stevens. Sorry, Steven. I just feel like we've covered that before.
Yep. Aaron.
Aaron, okay, so this actually had not gone into effect while I was still there, but Aaron said, how do you feel about the new security points today at Magic Kingdom? Because they obviously just went into place.
Oh.
Have we seen them yet?
Love them.
Cause, so now there's nothing at the gates anymore, right?
Right, so most of the security is back at the bus stops or done at the resort. Or for the Contemporary, actually, I think it's the most awkward. It's done as you're walking in.
Yeah.
But it's completely taken away that big cluster of people at the where the old security gates were, and it's really opened up the plaza for photos.
The plaza looks so much better in the pictures that I've seen.
Jeez!
Like the last time I walked through there, I'm not panic attack prone, but
it gets crazy.
It gets to the point where if you're not committed to going, it's like, should we just go do the monorail crawl?
Now
like,
I have to say, this some reason, and maybe, Lynn, maybe you can tell me whether the season was more spread out or whatever it is, but like this past week, which I historically feel like should have been a spring breakish type of crowd, was not bad.
It wasn't bad at all. We've got Easter coming up on the 16th, yeah. I believe. We'll see what happens. But it does seem like the bulk of the spring break happened about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. It just felt Magic Kingdom had the most amount of waits I went to, but like I went to Holy Land, obviously, but it's just not going to be historically very popular. But I went to Legoland, which I've had those lines can take forever because they're such low capacity rides, and there were no waits. It was dead. So
it was good. Now here's the interesting thing about the opening procedures at the Magic Kingdom. We just talked about the security. Mm-hmm. But the park impact from the new process of having guests admitted to Main Street,
the new rope,
an hour early, was that's a huge impact to the park. So before, when the park opened, let's say the park opened at 9, you know, if you were in the front of the turnstiles around 8:30 or 8:40, they would let you through, but they would hold you up right before the train station. And then after the welcome show, they would let some people down Main Street. They would kind of hold you up until 9 o'clock, and then you would go on to your ride.
Right.
But if you were past the turnstiles before, let's say 8:45, or if you saw the welcome show from beyond the turnstiles, you could pretty much get to that first ride well before anyone else in the park. I mean, you'd be in the group of the first 100 people in the park. We were there at the Magic Kingdom on Friday. There had to be at 8:30 in the morning, and half an hour before the park opened, there had to be 800 people in line to run to Seven Dwarfs Mine Train when it opened. There's a walkway from the central hub that goes to the right of the castle. It goes basically past where Merida does her meet and greet, mm-hmm. and to the and with cosmic rays on your right. That's the route you take to get in line for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. As soon as the park opened, instead of there being 100 people in line, there were 700 or 800 people in line. And the cast members told you it's an hour wait from this point.
Yeah.
And that means that even if you get to the even if you got to the park like at 8
before it 20, opens, yeah.
Yeah, if you got there 40 minutes early and got in, there were already hundreds of people in line ahead of you.
Yeah. I don't know and how I feel about that.
Well, so what do you tell people? Do you tell people to get there 2 hours early now? Tell them to get there 90 minutes early for vacation? No. You know, it was true to a lesser extent for Splash Mountain. It was true to a lesser extent to the other for the other Fantasyland attractions. Adventureland was dead. There were, you know, Splash Mountain, a couple people were going there. A couple people were going to Big Thunder Mountain. There must have been diehards or whatever. But yeah, and this is the thing I'm struggling with for the next edition of the unofficial guide. Do we really want to tell people who don't have a fast pass for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train? You got to be there at 7:30. Yeah, 7:30.
Who wants to do that? It's sort of.
Well, at that point, if you're waiting 90 minutes to get in the park, why don't you just wait 90 minutes in the line? I mean, it's the same thing, right?
Right. Go show up whenever you'd like at that point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It will be 90 minutes and you'll have fun.
The other interesting thing I heard, and this was from a security guard in the Magic Kingdom. He said there are two reasons why they did this opening procedure. One is they don't want large clumps of people.
Right. Totally.
For security. The other thing, and I didn't think of this and I totally should have. He said what people were doing was making reservations for Cinderella's Royal Table at 8 a.m., getting into the park, not going to the reservation, paying the $15, getting to be first in line for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, and essentially buying a $15 fast pass.
Interesting.
That
is another loophole that someone figured out.
I never would have thought of it.
Yeah. Of all the people, I thought I would have. I think of those loopholes. Why did I not?
We're not devious enough. I think that's what it is.
I don't plan far enough ahead, too. I can't get to Cinderella's.
But that was super clever.
A very interesting change. All right, that's going to do it for today's show. Special thanks to two of our magic providers this week. Kingdom Strollers, you know about them. As Will likes to say,
don't lug your strollers, lug your kids.
Yeah, what he said, kingdomstrollers.com to go rent your strollers. I do it every trip. And honestly, it's seamless. It's amazing. We pulled up to the house. They were already waiting. Okay, here's the thing. The strollers were ready before the house was ready. So boom, reunion.
If only you could rent a house from those Kingdom Strollers.
I know,
strollers,
for real, I would. Awesome. Kingdomstrollers.com. And also, Terry.
The DVC resale market, which you can get a hold of at DVCresellmarket.com.
We'll put that in the show notes. All right, that's going to do it for this week. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
And I'm Terry Weaver.
We'll see you on the next show.